What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, as always. First things first, follow me on Twitter, at It's Intuition. Follow my man behind the boards, Ben Shim, making the shit sound buttery, at I Am Database, base with two S's. You can follow us as a unit on our new Twitter handle, at Kinda Neat, super official. Look for our videos on YouTube, youtube.com/thatskindaneat. Where, you know what the crazy shit is, Ben? I don't know if you know this. Maybe you lurk the YouTube as hard as I do, but we have 18 videos now that are over 100,000. And the reason that 18 is significant is because when you like look on a YouTube page and go to the videos section and then you search by most popular, they have them in rows of six. So that means that all of the first three rows have at least 100,000 views, if not more. That shit is crazy to me. I think maybe by the time this comes out, we probably hit 5 million plays on YouTube too. So thank you guys so much for all the support on YouTube. The shit is crazy. It's much appreciated. And we get so many compliments from you guys and from people that we respect about the sound quality. So shout outs to Ben for killing the sound quality always. Yeah, go to youtube.com/thatskindaneat where you can see our guest today, Boogie, performing. Also, go to your app store, download the podcast app. Actually, if you have an iPhone, I think the podcast app is just automatically on your phone. So click that thing, go to search for Kinda Neat, and subscribe. It'll make your life so much easier. You can just plug in the aux cord, listen while you're driving to work, listen while you're driving to wherever it is that you're driving. You can listen while you're on the treadmill, listen while you're in your spin class, because Lord knows that the spin class instructors put on really annoying music. Facebook.com/KindaNeat. And I think that's all of our social media stuff. Who cares? No one listens to this part anyways. Now that you're done fast-forwarding to the story part, so much has happened since the last time we spoke. The last time that I came in here was like at the beginning of January. I know that this podcast has kind of turned into like a once or twice a month thing. I'm sorry. I apologize. Sometimes life gets in the way. The first year we went all 52 weeks in a row, and I definitely like stressed myself out to the point of like exhaustion, making sure that we got one out every week. And now I'm kind of like letting life happen as it happens. And if I don't get a guest, I don't really freak out about it. And I'm trying to make sure that all the guests that we have on are people that I really like and music that I enjoy. I'm not trying to ever sacrifice quality just to get an extra episode out or have people on that I don't fuck with. So that's why we've kind of gone to maybe twice a month instead of once a week. With that being said, man, you fucking YouTube haters, Jesus Christ, people that comment and they don't like the videos, like, ugh, shut up. Some of the YouTube commenters are like borderline racist because they're like, ew, this is just so ignorant. And these, just thuggish lyrics, so ignorant. This isn't real hip hop. Man, I hate that shit. I feel like the argument about real hip hop versus rap music is like borderline inherently racist. And that's like another whole conversation. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to get into it. Blah, 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 blah. Open your mind. Listen to the YouTube videos. They're tight. Be quiet. Okay. That being said, like I said, a lot of shit has happened. This month, I went to Indiana for a couple days. It was freezing cold. I haven't been in like negative 10 degree weather in so long. And it was just so cold there. We shot an NBA dude there. He was cool. What else? Oh, I got back and then flew straight to Hawaii pretty much. And we went to Maui and, we didn't go to Maui. We went to Oahu. I've been to Maui previously and Maui was super tight. And we went to Oahu and we were shooting this pro surf dude, on the North Shore. And, man, North Shore is not a place for a guy like me. Let me tell you, Hawaii is dope. I don't want this to come off as a fucking shit-talking session to Hawaii at all, but I felt like a complete fish out of water on the North Shore, because in the North Shore, it's all super, like, it's either, like, really localized Hawaiian dudes who, like, don't want you there, or it's pro surfers, like, who also don't want you there. So it was a strange experience for me, because I don't surf at all, and I don't really know anything about the surf culture, but, like, seeing the waves on the 7 Mile Miracle was crazy. You know, Pipe is crazy, and we were by Rocky Point and you know, like all back door off the wall, all these places like that are like right next to each other, all these world-class waves. It was insane to see. But at the same time, it, like a dude like me, that's like not really a crazy waterman or anything, like even just trying to take a casual dip in the ocean there, you could definitely drown. It's crazy. And, you know, it was raining a lot of the time we were there. And then some of the people I was traveling with, they all got sick. You know, the homie had the flu. Another dude got this crazy hives and everything. And so, like, everyone was sick. The trip wasn't as dope. Hawaii wasn't as dope this time as it was last time is what I'm getting at. But the bright side about Hawaii is that I did pseudo adopt a cat while I was there just for the week, though, because it was raining the first couple of days, like I said. And so the second day that we were there, it's raining outside. And all of a sudden, this little orange tomcat just cruises in the house like, hey, what's up? And I was very excited about that. So I had a little cuddle buddy for the rest of the time I was there, bought him some cans of cat food. He killed us some lizards to show us that he was a boss and that he was claiming ownership of us as well. Like, hey, man, check out these lizards that I killed you guys. And we're like, yo, thanks, cat. And that was dope. And then here's the crazy shit, though. I almost forgot about this because it's become such a background thing in my life. But when I saw Ben, when I rolled up, he's like, oh, what the fuck happened to your car? I had another car accident. I get hit all the time. I've never, knock on wood, I've never caused an accident, but I've been hit. Since I've lived in California, I've been hit 6 times. I've had a car totaled. I've had a car rear-ended multiple. I've been rear-ended multiple times. So, yeah, I've been in a bunch of accidents. And so I was on the way up to Ojai for my step-grandfather's funeral, who I mentioned in the last podcast. And it was raining. It was on a Saturday. It was about 2 in the afternoon. I'm cruising on the freeway right around Thousand Oaks when all of a sudden I hear a noise. And I kind of look over and I'm like, oh, shit, I see a car fucking flying towards me. It was a 3-car accident. I was the last person to get hit. So apparently what happened is like these 2 young kids were driving an Accord that had like race seats in it, you know, like Tokyo Drift type shit. They're probably speeding and hydroplane. So they spin. They hit a fucking lady who's also in a midsize sedan. She fishtails and starts veering towards me. And that's at the point where I kind of look over and see like, oh, shit, I'm about to get hit. So she hits me, bang. I don't even really lose control of my car. I kind of just like gradually come to a stop and pull over to the shoulder. And it's pouring rain, like I said. And I happen to have like this nice kind of pea coat with me. And so I put the shit on. I've just felt like a boss as I got out the car. I put on this pea coat and button it up. I felt like fucking Neo from the Matrix or something. I get out the shit. I start walking towards the car that hit me. And her whole front end was like just about ripped off. Like it was crazy. Her car's definitely totaled. And so as I start walking back there, I see her in there and she's like crying hysterically, whimpering. And I'm like, lady, are you okay? Are you okay? Is anything broken? And she's like, I can't get out of my car. Please help me. So for the second time in fucking 4 months, I rip open a car door for somebody on the freeway and help them get out. So I start prying open the door. It's jammed, but you know, superhuman strength. I fucking open the shit. I like ask her if she can walk and she's like, yeah, I can walk. So I help her get out. She's got like lacerations all over her forearm because all of her airbags had deployed on both sides of the door, both of the front ones, passenger side and driver's side. And so she's got cuts all over her arms because when those things explode, they explode with a lot of force. And so I help her get out and she's got like a 13-year-old son in the passenger seat. And I'm like, yo, are you okay, dude? And he's like, yeah, I'm cool. And so he crawls out that side. So when I got out of the car, I barely even got tapped. This is how I felt. So I was like, oh shit, this is going to be a hassle, but not a big deal. But when I get out of the car, I notice like my whole bumper has been ripped off. Like the whole thing is pulled off and it's only like attached by 2 little screws basically. And it's just laying there on the side of the freeway. And I'm like, ah, fuck. So my car looks like shit right now. And since I was the second car to get hit and an accident was the first kid's fault, like I'm going to have to wait basically until the other lady gets reimbursed and then see if his insurance will still cover mine. It's going to be like drama for fucking months. But yeah, that's what it always is. Anyway, an ambulance comes. She gets hauled off in an ambulance. This other kid, he's probably not driving the car that he was insured for. It's all just a mess. So that is what has been happening in my life. And I was recording this before the artist got here because there's some other people coming in the studio after we're done. So I was trying to get out of the way. So I haven't had the conversation yet. Usually I have them beforehand, but I'm sure this is going to be a good conversation. Our guest today is a young gentleman named Boogie, young man out of either Long Beach or Compton. I'm not really quite sure. We're going to find that out together. He has a mixtape out right now called Thirst 48. Very good listen. I've been listening to it a lot. And yeah, we'll see what happens with this conversation. I'm sure it's going to be a great one. So thank you guys for tuning in. And without any further ado, here is my conversation with Boogie. Where are you you traveling from tonight?
Traveling from Long Beach, California.
Born and bred?
Yeah, for the most part, 50% Compton, 50% Long Beach.
Who lives where? Mom lives in?
Yeah, mom live in Long Beach, family in Compton, cousins and all that.
And then what, pops lives in Long Beach?
I don't know where my daddy lives.
I got into that way quick, my bad.
Yeah, I haven't seen my daddy since I was a kid. I don't know where he lives.
Yeah. Then is it like grandmother's side and grandfather's side in Long Beach and Compton or something? Like mom's, different sides of mom's family?
Yeah, it's just cousins. Yeah. And, you know, growing up, I kick it with my cousins most of the time. So yeah. When I'm with my cousins, I'm in Compton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you went to school in Lakewood.
Yeah, which is Long Beach, basically.
Yeah.
I went to school in Lakewood High School.
You're born out here, too, yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I was born in L.A.
What part of L.A.?
Well, I don't know what hospital it was, okay. Honestly. Yeah, yeah.
But the folks been out here.
Yeah,
sure. What's your mom do when you were growing up?
My mom always had little temp jobs, always clerk work, little clerk jobs here and there. Nothing permanent, really.
Yeah. What'd you get into as a kid early on?
Early on, it was sports and church.
Yeah?
Yeah, church early.
Is that where you started singing at?
Yeah, that's where I started all my musical
Because I hear on the tape you got a little vocals, you can sing a little bit.
I be trying. Yeah. I don't really throw it out there because I'm not really, you know.
Were you in choir and shit like that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Choir about 4 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. What kind of sports did you get into?
I played basketball for Lakewood.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Shooting guard?
Point guard?
Point guard.
I was too short to play any other position.
Yeah, yeah.
Point guard.
So you got handles?
Nah, I be killing.
Oh, all right.
I'm hard.
Hey, Ben, he said he could post up.
I challenge any rapper to a basketball game.
Any rapper?
Any rapper.
I know some pretty tall rappers.
It don't matter. I dunk.
Oh, shit. Can you dunk? Get out
of
here.
Nah, I'm just saying I can't dunk. I can get up there, though. I touched rim one time.
Really?
Yeah, I was up.
That's impressive, because, like, you're not the tallest in the
room. No, I actually hung on the rim, though.
You hung on it?
Yeah, and I looked at everybody when I did it. Still proud of that moment. It was in Fresno, California.
That is impressive. I'll give you that. I mean, I'm 6 foot, and I've just barely touched the rim with my fingers one time, and I was very proud.
See, if I was 6 foot, I would have probably never rapped. I would have been in the NBA.
There you go. I'm very white, though, so, I mean, to even get fingers on the rim
That's big. That's an accomplishment,
bro. I was
bro.
About it. I was so happy. Yeah.
That's dope.
My calves were swole at that point. How were you with school as a kid? Did you like it?
I was good until high school.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's when I blew it.
Well, so here's I always have this theory about rappers that we're all, like, regardless of how cool we try to act, like, we're all pretty smart. You're a pretty smart guy to write stuff. So I'd imagine as a kid, you probably took to reading easy.
Yeah, my favorite subject was math, though.
You were a math guy?
Yeah, I love math.
Really? Did you keep with it? Like, did you like mathematical theory, too, in high school? Algebra and shit like that?
I mean, that was my favorite subject. I didn't like any of my classes, but if I was to choose a favorite, I would say math, for sure.
No shit.
I wasn't into reading and English and all that.
Because you just like to count this paper.
Well, that's cliche, but yeah, that's the reality. That's the reality.
Yeah, yeah. So what was the neighborhood like that you were growing up in as a kid?
Rough.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure. It was tough. Yeah, Long Beach was tough for me and Compton was tough for me. So. Yeah.
Were you going to elementary school in Long Beach or in Long Beach as well?
Yeah, I went to elementary in north side of Long Beach.
Yeah.
Barton Elementary.
And this is in what, like early 90s?
Let's see. I was born in 89. Yeah, I believe.
Mid to late. Yeah, for sure. I mean, what's like the socioeconomic dynamic of the area that you're in at that time?
Just gang activity.
Lots of gangs.
That's all it was. That's all I knew was gang activity.
Yeah. I grew up in Alaska, and my only connection to the area at the time was listening to rap music. And so to hear what I was hearing about the area of Long Beach and Compton, it seemed like a fucking war zone. Is that what you were experiencing at all?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's probably not as extra out as the rappers say, because you got to be a part of that gang activity to really get into those type of situations. But innocent people get hit, too. So it's like everybody is forced to see.
Did you have a lot of family that was involved in that sort of stuff? Not to like dry snitch?
Nah, for sure. Yeah, all my cousins gangbang. All my homies gangbang. Everybody I know gangbang, or they affiliated with a gang.
It's just like you can't really avoid that in that area.
You definitely can't.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can't say it's impossible, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, do you get involved? Obviously, you have to get involved at some point.
I wouldn't say I get involved. I'm just, by affiliation, I'm automatically guilty. You know, if somebody got a problem with my cousin, I'm of course gonna ride with my cousin. Mm-hmm. So that automatically put me in certain situations, mm-hmm. and I'm never gonna really back down from nobody wanting to fight or something like that. So I always get caught in some bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Uncles too, uncles, cousins, like all male influences.
Well, I don't got no uncles. Now that I think about it, I got all aunties. Yeah. So all the women in my family tried to keep us away from it, but I got an older cousin who I just always follow what he do, and he got me into that gang activity real quick.
Yeah.
So I was just always around it from that point on.
Huh. What age is that?
Middle school.
Yeah.
I believe I was around 13.
And so when you're 13, I mean, dude, you're a baby at that point. So like as a little kid, like what kind of shit are you getting involved with
yeah, that? See, you know, it's not like the movies where they say take this gun and you got to go kill somebody. Right. Like, that's fiction. But maybe it was true for the older cats. But really, it just was about having something to claim as your own. Like we at first it started off as us just thinking it's cool to all claim the same thing. Like, my favorite color was red, so it's easy for me to be like, oh, so whoop, like, yeah. You know. And then all of my cousins is doing it, so it just started as that. It just something we all felt like we could claim together.
Uh-huh. And it's more just looking out for each other at that point?
Or yeah, what? Definitely.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's other kids that are trying to fucking rob people or whatever, yeah, beat people up, and it's just a means of protection?
Yeah, and we was never the type to walk around just trying to press people. It was more so if us always having to deal with somebody asking us where we from, and we having to say where we from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said you haven't seen your dad since you don't know when.
Yeah.
Do you know the story behind that?
Like, him and my mom didn't get along, so I feel like instead of him dealing with it, and like him and her don't have to be together for him to be a father, you know?
Yeah.
He didn't play any part. He just left.
So when you were a baby?
Not a baby. He was there till I was about 3 or maybe 5. He was there till he was around. Then he left for about, I say, 5 to 7 years, tried to come back around. And then I got a brother on my daddy's side, and me and him got into like an altercation. And my daddy kind of chose up in that situation.
Like a half brother.
Yeah, my half brother.
Yeah. So he comes back in town with your half brother, and then you and he don't get along.
Yeah, me and my half brother get into it, and so it kind of led to him choosing up, I guess.
Wow. And that's a younger brother?
He older than me.
An older brother.
Yeah.
Do you know where he's at?
No, I don't know where he at either.
No, I mean, well, like your pops, you know where
he's at? No, I don't know what city he at. He reached out to me, I believe, on a social network, but honestly, I was probably being childish at the time, but I didn't have it in me to bond with him.
Yeah. Do you think about it ever? Like,
just with my kid, I do, because you know I feel like he should know who his grandfather is.
Yeah, but yeah.
Then again, I feel like it's not really my job to have to force a bond between us. You know, when he reached out, he typed a couple words, but he didn't really show that he wanted to be involved. He know he got a grandkid. But when he come back around, he just want to tell me how my mom pushed him away instead of just taking responsibility.
Man, you know, I went through some similar shit. And this is just because we didn't really have a chance to like speak before this. So I guess I'm forcing a rapport upon you to relate. Yeah, but my point is that I went through a similar thing with my dad where he took off for a while, came back. And then as an adult, we never really had a relationship once I moved out of the state. And I always kind of felt like, yo, this motherfucker like didn't want to like step up and take responsibility or like, you know, like reach out and say hello to me or ask how I'm doing, et cetera, et cetera. And I always held this grudge in my head about it. And then he got sick and now he has Alzheimer's. Yeah. And so I feel like I fucking will never have a chance to try and heal that. And I get a lot of these, I get a lot of folks on the show who like don't have a relationship with their dad. And I tell this story just to be on some like, if you have a chance, man.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword.
It is.
Definitely.
Because I held that grudge a long time of like, oh, man, I'm like, nah, this fool owes me, you know? And now it's like, that'll never get to get healed. But it is what it is. Yeah, anyway.
Hopefully I mature. I come around and say something to him.
Sorry, that got real emo real quick.
Nah, it don't trip it. It be like that. I appreciate that. I probably needed that.
You know?
Make me want to go talk to Brad.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. But it's interesting. Like, I hear a lot of people, I feel like dads, man. Dads are always fucking up.
They are.
I don't know what it is.
That's why I strive to be better than him.
Yeah, I see you. I've never met you before this. I didn't know for sure if it was your son, but I see you on your videos and I see a little kid in there and I go, and I assume that that's your child.
Definitely.
Yeah. How old were you when you had a kid?
20.
20?
Yeah.
So he's what, 5 now?
Yeah,
or something?
He's 5.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You still good with the girl?
His mother? Yeah, we good.
You guys are good. Cool?
Co-parents. Great co-parents.
Nice. What's your son's name?
Darius.
Darius?
Yep.
When you find out that your lady's pregnant, is it just like a game changer? Like you try to lock shit down or what?
Honestly, I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
scary. I was scared. It's not like I told her to go have an abortion, but no lie to, you know, I was scared and that thought almost crossed my mind.
I mean, options come up.
But I realized real quick he didn't ask to be here and I couldn't see it in myself to do that. But, yeah, I didn't tell my mom actually probably till like she was like 5 months pregnant.
Really?
I was just scared of her reaction more than anything.
Yeah, I believe it.
It was crazy.
Yeah, but so when you guys decide, like, okay, we're going to keep this and we're going to do it, like, do you start to, like, try to get your shit together?
Yeah, I started questioning myself for what I'm doing with rapping, trying to probably get the typical 9 to 5. It was a lot of struggling I was going with mentally.
Yeah, yeah.
It was tough.
With dad not being around, did you have any older male influences other than cousins, like, that like, mentored or took you under a wing?
I got an older brother, but, you know, he left home when he was, like, 15.
Yeah.
So all I had was my older cousin, Dewan.
Yeah.
That was it. That was, like, my older brother.
How much older is he?
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah, 3 years.
Yeah. Man. So just all aunties around.
Just all aunties and cousins.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
And my grandma.
Yeah. Is she kind of the head of the family?
Yeah, she is. We do dinners at her house, like, once a month.
How many people would be there?
It's about a good 15 of us, 15 to 20 of us, because all the cousins got kids now.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're getting a little thick now.
Nice. That sounds like a nice little familial event.
Yeah.
So tell me about growing up in the church, man. Were you big, like, a lot of faith?
Yeah, I was. But I'm not going to lie. I looked forward to the choir more than anything. Like, sometimes the preacher was going over my head when they just reading, you know, words off the paper.
Yeah.
It was in times when they related to me a lot and you know, it was good for me.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I got my spiritual move in the choir.
The music just gave you that feeling from the jump.
Definitely.
Yeah. And was it, what kind of church was it? Was it like, was the choir like big, vibrant, like,
Yeah, we was turned.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
A real turned up Christian church.
Yeah. Like, that's tight. Instruments and stuff too?
All of that. The homies was in there.
Yeah. Did you play any instruments?
Nah, I wasn't with that.
Nah? Just singing.
Just singing.
That's tight though. How were you as an elementary student? Were you in trouble a lot? Were you a good kid?
Nah, I was on the honor roll.
You were
on
honor roll.
I was killing.
Yeah.
I was a nerd though. You know, I had my glasses popping.
You got glasses?
Big head.
Well, you got LASIK now or contacts?
Nah, my glasses in my pocket.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, they right here, bro. Yeah, I'm good. I'm out here.
Nice. Hell yeah. So when is it then that fucking school becomes like on the back burner for you?
Start getting into some bullshit. You know, middle school is when you first start falling for girls. Like,
yep.
In elementary, you think they got cooties and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so middle school, I start falling for the girls. And then high school came, the girls start falling for me. So,
yeah,
it got crazy.
Yeah, so was it like a lot of ditching?
Yeah, me and my best friend Blake, I had 89 absences.
I feel like there's only like 115 days in a year.
Like, I was never there. I was there, but I wasn't in class.
Yeah.
I was just around the school.
And if you had 89 absences, like, you didn't have like truancy officers coming
after
you?
Yeah, I had a ticket. As a matter of fact, it followed me till after high school, but I think it erased when I turned 21.
Yeah. What is that? What's the ticket about?
Like, it was a truancy ticket.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't go to court for it. I was supposed to go to court, I guess.
And what do they do? Like, you have to pay money?
I guess so.
Jesus Christ, that seems crazy.
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, that is some bullshit. So what would you guys do when you skip school?
Walk around school, talk to the other bitches.
Oh, you just wouldn't go to class?
A little bit. Yeah, no, we just was up at school walking around.
Just stay in the area.
Bitches was ditching.
Yeah.
So I was ditching.
Was there like hidden places in the school to just sneak
off?
I
knew all the spots, bruh.
Yeah, where were the spots?
It was, you could go to, because it's a little gate you could hop by the special ed classes.
Yeah.
We'd hop the gate and go to Wiener Schnitzel. It's a little cut over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's some buildings you could go behind. Shout out to the 900 building at Lakewood High School.
So you had girls like hopping the fence with you?
Yeah, we was turned.
That's funny.
Super turned.
Were you like a weed smoker as a kid?
Nah.
Were you never got into drugs?
I didn't start smoking until after high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd you stay away from that?
I just thought it was poop.
Really?
I just didn't think it was cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. It never really came my way.
Yeah.
That's crazy now that I think about it.
Yeah, because I was an early starter with that, and then I got out of it. Like,
no, matter of fact, one time when I was a kid, me and Dewan, my cousin Dewan had some, but I think it was just little sticks and stuff, and we smoked it out of some tube.
Yeah,
and it killed me. I didn't like it, but I don't think it was weed. Now that I think about it, so that made me not want to smoke for a long time.
You fucking smoked salvia your first time,
or
something?
Yeah, it was like little sticks and shit.
Oh god, it's like popping as you smoke.
You feel me?
Yeah, that's terrible. That would be a turn off to smoking weed for sure. Me. Yeah, man. So if you're absent that much, how are you getting to stay on the basketball team?
Yeah, that's why I got kicked off the basketball team.
You got kicked off?
10th grade year.
Get out.
Yeah.
So were you what? Were you playing JV freshman year, or were you varsity?
Freshman, 9th grade year, and then I was practicing with the JV, and then I got kicked off. Kicked out of school. Kicked off the team.
Kicked off the team.
I got kicked out of school the next year.
Did that put a spark in your ass at all, or obviously not if you got kicked out of school the next year?
Nah, it didn't do nothing.
You didn't care?
Nah, I didn't really care, honestly.
Yeah. Well, so you get kicked off, and it seems like maybe that made things worse if you drop out of school the next year.
Yeah, I ended up going to homeschool, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what becomes the catalyst of getting kicked out of school?
I got kicked out because my 11th grade year, we started a clique at high school called Flip.
Yeah.
Fuck 11, I'm pimping. So,
okay.
And it went from like my high school to every high school in Long Beach School District.
This is an interesting thing that I've only recently kind of learned about, and I still don't fully understand it. But
yeah.
To the listeners that don't live in LA, can you explain kind of the difference between a clique and a gang?
Okay. A clique, for the most part, usually isn't supposed to kill people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clique is like something you do with your homies, like a little party crew or something, just to walk around, get the bitches, or the bitches want to be a part of it.
But y'all like to the layman, it might get mistaken for a gang if you're not familiar.
I mean, if you're just walking around a bunch of dudes with matching t-shirts with letters on it,
yeah,
you're going to get looked at as a gang, and
right,
we just going to, people going to start mad dogging you. It's going to lead
right
to stuff.
Right.
But yeah, mostly people from cliques is all from their own gang, though.
Okay.
Like, that's how I was in high school.
So everybody in a clique already probably is involved in gang activity,
yeah,
elsewhere, but
yeah,
but this is a separate thing.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, you guys start a clique, and what happens?
Yeah, the school started not liking it. Like, they didn't think what we was doing was cool. They basically saying it was like gang injunction in a way.
What's injunction mean? Sorry.
Basically, somebody on my bad. That's basically somebody who's promoting gang violence and is basically the core of it. They think you're the core of the gang activity.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, they basically thought what I was doing was gang injunction.
Wow.
So they kicked me out for it.
When you're going to a school like that in an area where there is so much gang activity, is it like, are certain colors banned, or like hats or logos, or is it strict with that kind of stuff?
In high school, you can wear Steeler logos, Raider logos, Cowboy logos.
None of that.
None of that.
Really?
It's all related to gang activities. In LA, all gangs is based off logos.
Yeah.
Like, colors matter, but really it's logos on your hat and logos on your shirt and stuff.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, definitely.
Which gang were you affiliated with?
Pyrus.
Pyrus?
Pyrus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And is that something that you're still around?
Yeah, I mean, that's my family.
That's
so
fair.
I'm always
yeah
a part of it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not into promoting gangbanging, though. But
no,
yeah,
absolutely. Nah, and I'm not either, but
nah,
it's just
yeah
like a...
It's no,
just
it's
like
reality. I got to talk about it either
way. And it's
way,
a genuine curiosity.
That's where I'm from, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because your music isn't really like... You're not out here like picking back being bull
yeah
or nothing.
I mean,
like, that's not what your music is like.
I mean,
you know?
At the end of the day, yeah, I got to be an example for my kid. And gangbanging is something that I definitely would never want him to be a part of.
Yeah.
Because it's no good that come out of it, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it's just bullshit now.
Uh-huh.
So the cycle got to stop somewhere. So, but I'd be false if I didn't tell him where I was from and what I did growing up. But I got to make sure he knows it's nothing cool about it at the same time.
Right, right. How close does your son live to you? Like, you guys live at the same time?
About 5 minutes away.
It's not bad at all then.
Yeah, but he with me like 50% of the time anyway.
That's awesome. So when you get booted out of school because they think you are participating in gang injunction, then what do you do? You start going to homeschool?
Yeah, I started going to homeschool.
Yeah.
That was the weakest shit ever.
Why?
Because it's just you get packets every week, and you think it's going to be cool because you don't got to be in class, but you're just sitting there by yourself still having to do the work. So
right,
it's like, damn, just I wish somebody was right here.
Boring as shit.
Yeah, that shit was weak.
Yeah. How did you end up doing good at it, though?
Yeah, I was solid. Passed.
Yeah.
Did my shit.
Yeah, so you ended up with your diploma still?
They give you a GED at homeschools.
Oh, okay.
So niggas never got no diploma.
At this point, you're living with your mom, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Did she make you, like, get a job or anything? Like, did you have jobs?
Yeah, I did some. First, I did some little telemarketing shit early.
Oh, those are
but
the worst.
But then like you get paid off of how many calls you complete.
Yeah,
and they caught me on tape, like talking to air, like fake doing fake calls. I was acting like I was completing the call, just talking to nobody, answering questions and all that to myself. So then they called me in the room and played it back to me. That was funny too.
Oh damn! How long did it take you to figure out that hustle?
Nah, I mean I lasted for like a month or two.
Yeah.
Then I stopped working for a couple years. I started rapping. I got a little bullshit manager before I got the real one I got now.
Yeah.
Took me on a little crazy little circle.
So you got management like right as you started rapping?
I was rapping in high school. Like I was always doing music. Yeah. Once I started hanging with the homies after church, I just started transitioning to rap.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I was always doing little ciphers. Then after high school, some stud found me.
Yeah.
Shout out to her.
Yeah.
And we did some bullshit for like a year or two.
Wait, what is that? I got lost.
A stud is a dyke, like a lesbian.
Oh.
I had a stud manager.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so shout out to her.
That's so funny. I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, my bad, bro.
No, it's good. I'm learning. I'm learning from you, man. That's fantastic. So wait, when do you start rapping? Like, is it like a junior high thing? Like, just...
Yeah, say eighth grade.
Yeah.
I started rapping eighth grade.
Yeah, this is a question I always have for people that do good in school early on. Like, was memorizing something that came very easy to you?
That's probably my best skill. I can memorize everything.
Yeah, because that was the as a child, learning that I had rhythm and could memorize things was like, that's why I was like, oh,
for sure.
Rapping. I should try rapping because it's like I can do that stuff.
Yeah.
Like I had the whole Doggy Style album memorized when I was like 12, you know? Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah. Speaking of which, growing up around that area, would you just see fools from Long Beach like fucking Warren G or Snoop or anybody like that around?
Matter of fact, you know who the twins are?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
they're my uncles.
Shut up. The twins are your uncle?
Yeah, my mama married their brother.
Yeah.
Like, when did my mama get married? 8 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, she was with him about 5 years before that. So they've been in my life about 13 years.
No shit. That's so crazy. Yeah, because I trip off that kind of stuff because growing up out in the sticks where I did, this is like obviously not a thing. But like, you know, the last guest that I had on, he was like, yeah, growing up in Brooklyn, I would just like see Biggie around. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
that's so crazy.
A couple years ago, I was at Goldilocks house.
Really?
Yeah, and laid a couple songs over there with him.
That's tight, man. Is there a lot of people around you that were rapping at the time?
Yeah. Well, just my homies.
Yeah.
I wasn't really around Snoop and them.
Well, I mean, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Rap was a thing that friends did.
Yeah, for sure.
And you guys probably just chill and fucking
chill
freestyle
and rap
and shit
all day.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, did it become a thing where you were kind of the one where people were like, oh, yeah, he's the best of our friends?
Yeah,
group.
The homies was weak.
Yeah.
And they knew.
Yeah.
Like, I try to make sure I stay humble, but I always knew too.
Yeah.
That I was better.
Right. And did you start taking it a little more seriously than
them?
Yeah,
definitely.
You're writing in your off time and stuff?
Yeah, for sure. After high school, I went to college for a little bit for recording engineering just to get a studio for myself.
Oh, where'd you go?
Long Beach City College.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So you started learning how to record yourself and such?
Yep, that's how I did Thirst 48 in my bedroom.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah. And so, so going to like Long Beach City College and learning some stuff about recording helps you be able to set up your own home studio.
Yeah, definitely.
You bootleg Pro Tools or something?
No, I bought it with my financial aid.
You bought it?
The real version.
Wow, you're like one of the only people that I know that.
Yeah, I know. I was told I could have got a torn and did some more shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't do it.
I feel like everybody that I know that starts a home studio is like, yeah, I bootlegged all this software.
Yeah, I feel like everybody do that too.
They don't start buying it until they get super official.
See, that's that karma they putting in the universe.
There you go. That's
they blew it.
When you're going to Long Beach, is that or the City College, is that the first time you start like really recording yourself?
Yeah, for sure.
And how did you feel like when you first start like hearing your voice on tracks?
I was addicted to it.
Yeah.
That was before I was recording myself. I was recording tracks like before I even bought my studio, but I had to pay for studio time. Like, so I either ask my mama for $20 for an hour and try to do like 3 songs in that hour or some shit like that. But I was always having to pay. That's why I was on the recording like once every 3 months.
Yeah.
But then, after I went to school, I started recording myself and I was stuck in there.
Where were you getting beats from?
YouTube. Everything. Oh no! It was SoundClick back in the day. I was on SoundClick.
Yeah, people forget about SoundClick.
Yeah, I for sure forgot about it. YouTube. I started doing YouTube beats like 2 years ago.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And so was it, so when you're on SoundClick, you're just looking for people who's like, oh, hey.
Anybody who don't got their tag on the beats.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it be them dudes who put it every 20 seconds so you don't take their beat.
Yeah, so you can't steal it because they want to lease you the beat for 20 bucks.
Dumb week.
Yeah, yeah. That's so funny. Now that SoundCloud's so popular, people forgot that like SoundClick, that was only like probably 6 or 7 years ago when it was popular.
That shit was booming.
Yeah, it was a whole subculture in and of itself. When do you play your first show out?
When did I do my first show? I did my first show when I first got that stud manager.
Yeah.
I say I was like 18 or 19.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did a little $500 contest at this club called The Airliner in LA.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. We're right down the street from there. That's where they do low-end theory.
And really, you just win as long as you bring the most homies.
Oh, so it was Urban Underground.
I don't know. A minute ago. I don't think that's what it was called. Okay. It just was some contest I was there. I don't know what it was called.
Yeah. Which were you outside or in the?
It was
upstairs.
Inside. Upstairs. Upstairs.
Yeah. Yeah. So you did a contest for $500 and you won?
Yeah, I won just because I had the most homies there.
How did you get everybody to show up from Long Beach?
Well, it's just we just stick. Me and my homies, we just everywhere we go, we roll like deep.
Yeah.
So it was really no fans at that event. It's just everybody bring their homies.
Everybody's
and
homies.
As long as your homies yell more,
yeah,
you're gonna win.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I won.
So did you like fucking feel like you had the juice after that?
I did, but then I realized everybody expected something, so I had to take all the homies to Denny's. So after
so
that,
the 500 was like coming gone.
Over.
Yeah, yeah. It's always funny with like the first show because you get all your friends to show up and you're like, oh shit, I'm killing it. And it feels like something, everybody's cheering for you. But then you realize, like, oh, they're only going to come to like the first one or two.
Yeah,
and then I
got
to actually have to like
get them in free.
And
or,
you got to promote and shit after that. Yeah, yeah. So what was the hustle like after that with your stud manager?
I ended up just being over her.
Yeah.
She made me sign this bullshit contract, and it just wasn't working right.
Who pulled more bitches, you or her?
No, she was killing, though. Every show, she brought a bitch to the show. Like, that shit was crazy.
That's funny. Where was she from? Same area?
San Diego.
From San Diego?
San Diego.
No shit. How'd she find you? Or how'd you find her?
I don't know. Like Facebook or something. Whatever social was popping at the time, that's how she found me.
Yeah, yeah. And so she's just like, oh, you've got it. Let me manage you.
Yeah, one of them things. Like, she came. She got me some shows, but they was like boo-boo shows. Like, five people there.
Yeah.
Like, it was cool. I guess it's an experience I have to go through.
Yeah. So what's the hustle like at that point? Are you putting out CDR mixtapes or, like, putting shit online?
Yeah, I was dropping little songs on. I think it's MySpace now that I think about it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was dropping little songs on MySpace.
Yeah.
I was already, like, known in Long Beach just because from high school. Like,
yeah.
That's where that helped a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't know this, but because I was listening. I've been listening to Thirst 48, and you have a track with Aston on there. And we had Aston on the show.
Yeah,
and then you guys grew up together?
Yeah, that's my boy. We went to high school together.
Yeah, that's hella crazy. Small world. Did you guys start rapping together, too?
Nah. I think I was rapping.
Oh, no, because never mind. He fucking didn't start rapping
until
didn't
rap until after high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't rapping in high school. He was playing football.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
He was balling.
But that was the homie, though.
Yeah, that was the homie.
Was he part of your clique?
Nah, Aston wasn't with no clique stuff at school. You know, he was just with it. He just was Aston. Didn't nobody try to say nothing to him.
Right, right.
He was cool with everybody on the football team. After high school, he reached out to me again. We did some music before he was even, you know, with Cutthroat.
Yeah.
We did a lot of tracks. So, that's forever, my bro.
Yeah, that's tight, man. So, you're dropping music on MySpace. At this point, are you recording in the home yet?
No, I'm recording at this engineer named Truel House.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and is it all kind of Jack Beats, though?
Everything was Jack Beats.
So, when does it get to the point where you start, like, finding producers you want to work with and stuff?
Last year when I met Clayton.
Really?
When I met my manager.
Yeah, so a little bit of inside baseball here. Clayton Blaha. We had him on the show, so if you guys have been listening for a long time, we had Clayton on the show. He was doing PR with Biz3 for a while, but now he works with and owns Ausla. And he also manages our boy Boogie.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I found out about you. Is he was like, oh, this dude's the truth. And I listened to the tape. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's the truth. This is good. It's great. So you just met Clayton last year.
Well, no. Hold on. Let me see. It's 2015.
Yeah, it is.
It was probably late 2013 I met him.
Yeah.
Yeah, late 2013.
How did you guys meet?
Twitter.
through Twitter.
Thank God for the socials, bro.
Yeah. So what, he just like saw a video of yours or something?
Yeah, he I think he was fucking with Aston. Aston retweeted one of my videos. My one and only video, matter of fact, that I did with the homie.
Yeah.
Clayton Saw Potential.
Yeah.
We build it from there.
That's so interesting. And so you just so that's it. You guys have bonded and started
like my best friend now.
That's great. And so who did he start hooking you up with production wise?
With Caleb Early.
Caleb is another guest that we have.
Oh, that's bro.
Caleb is the homie. Caleb Stone.
Caleb Stone.
Yeah, he's been killing it with, just put out a record with Speak, two EPs with Speak.
Oh, yeah, I saw it and posted pictures.
Yeah, he's got like, what, 4 or 5 beats on Thirst 48, right?
Yep, that's bro. The core at Thirst 48 was him, so.
Yeah, yeah. I think my favorite song from the tape he produced, which is Blackmails.
Yep.
Blackmail.
Yep.
That's a beautiful beat.
Thank you.
He's hard.
When he first played that, he played that the first day I met him, matter of fact.
Yeah, that song is fucking awesome. And the beat is like something I've never heard Caleb produce like that. I feel like everything that
Caleb is soulful. Y'all got to know Caleb got some soul in him.
You know, a lot of his beats are like kind of tense and really moving.
Yeah, he been turned lately.
He likes to turn up. And so when I heard that, I was like, "Whoa, this doesn't sound like fucking Caleb."
Yeah, he knew I'd be in my feelings, so he knew to play me the soulful Jones.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, yeah, let's talk about Thirst 48 cuz it's a project that's been getting attention. It came out like what, 7-8 months ago?
Yeah, about 7 months ago.
7 months ago.
Or whenever that was on.
And towards the end of the year lists, when those started coming out, it got a lot of, you did good because you got attention with it when it first came out, but it was good enough to get that second wave of attention.
Yeah,
with
all the second wave was better.
The best of lists,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
So I think, like Hot New Hip Hop or something like that.
They always support it.
I made
a lot of end of lists. So yeah, like Pigeons and Planes.
Yeah, Pigeons and Planes. Shout out to Confusion.
Yeah.
Who else?
Hot New, I'm not sure really. It was a couple places.
Yeah, yeah. But it got a lot of attention on the best of list because it's a really great tape. So tell me what you were going through while you're making it. How long did it take you to make?
I had one song, which was a song I made Clayton because of, which was Numb.
Uh-huh.
And I did that.
Numb is another one I really like.
Yeah, I did that in 2013. That was my first custom beat. Even though Clayton got me my real beats, I got that beat from some girl on Twitter.
Get out.
Like, I just inboxed her, like, let's work.
Yeah.
I thought she was a singer. And she was like, do you even know what I do? And I was like, damn, you're right, I don't. So I clicked on her SoundCloud to see she made beats.
So you slid in the DMs because she had a nice profile picture.
Yeah, and
really.
I thought she was a singer. I was a thirsty rapper, no lie.
Yeah.
I was just trying to work with everybody. So, yeah she sent me the beat. And I got off to it. So that was my first song. And I just was talking about a thirsty generation because I'm probably my most bitterest homie. I'm always talking about how I hate how people tweet and shit like that.
Yeah, no, I kind of like that because I find myself having a lot of disdain for this generation as well and being, you know, a quote-unquote hater quite often. And that's pretty much a lot of what the bulk of the tape is about, is like calling people out for their bullshit of like doing things for likes or doing things, you know, instead of like living life, people are like living for the likes.
Yeah, and it's cool, like, to want to mark down your moments and have them something you can remember, but when niggas just on there taking gun pictures, like, I don't even understand. Why are you shooting at a camera?
Yeah.
Like, it just don't make no sense.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. I actually had to put, like, some stipulations for myself on social media stuff, because I was like, I started noticing, like, when I'd be traveling or doing whatever, I'd be like, oh, I can't wait to get like an Insta banger. And then I'd be like, and then it's like, I would just be, while I was there, like thinking about what picture am I going to take? Rather
bro,
than like,
I've done that.
Like living it.
Exactly.
Yeah?
And it, sometimes it do take you away from the moment because you're too busy thinking about how many likes you finna get.
Hell yeah.
And I for sure done did it.
Instagram is probably the craziest for me because people like really try to hype their life up on that shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's people that really think if they don't get a certain amount of likes, then their life is on some bullshit.
Really? Even it's like, if you're taking one picture of a week, but it's from the tightest moment of your week, your life's always going to look really dope, even though,
for sure.
The rest of those infinite moments of the week are
you got to come with them rare flicks.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the shit might be boring as fuck, but you're making it look like you're living all lavish.
It's a lot of great tweeters out there. Shout out to Clayton, because, you know, he a great tweeter.
Clayton is a very funny tweeter.
You feel me? It's cool to be funny.
Yeah.
But when you portraying somebody you're not, that's when I get over shit.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, I don't know. Let's go back a little farther. So you're already rapping when you're 18, 19. Uh-huh. And then are you dating this girl for a while when she gets pregnant? Or is it something where...
Yeah, me and my baby mama was dating. I met her when I think I was like 17.
Yeah.
So we was dating for like 4 years.
Yeah, so you were in high school still when you guys met.
Yeah, I was at home school.
So that was like the real thing.
Yeah,
and so,
I thought it was.
Yeah, so then... When she gets knocked up, you're panicking and you don't tell your mom for 5 months. But what do you do to try and prepare yourself for, you know, for your child coming?
Honestly, I think I was making all the wrong moves.
What were you doing?
I wasn't preparing myself mentally, like, because I still wanted to be a rapper. And, you know, most dudes probably would have started preparing a job or something, but I just always had it in my head that that's not life. Like, my life can't be where I just sit and work for somebody all right. day. Like, I'm only gonna live once, and I'd rather struggle than have to do some bullshit I'm not feeling.
I feel the same way. There's so many people that don't understand that feeling, but
like, you can't, at the end of the day, you can't take this money with you. Like, you could work to be comfortable all your life, mm-hmm. but then when you get back and look at it, you didn't live. So what was the point of you working 6 days a week?
I completely agree with that. And there's so many people that don't, but that's the thing, is like, yeah, if you spend your 20s, 30s, 40s trying to stack this money to like
to go on vacation when you're 50.
Yeah, like, all of a sudden you're like 60.
That's weak. Why not work? It's cool to work, but why not work at something you love doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I always had that mentality.
I agree. And what I feel like, if you have that kind of hustler's mentality, regardless of what you're doing, you'll always figure out how to pay the bills that you got to pay.
No, for sure. It always comes through in the clutch.
Yeah, that's
for some reason it do.
And it took me a long time to learn that, because I don't have like a regular, quote unquote, regular job, but I did that in my early 20s, you know? And I feel like it wasn't until I was about 28, 29 when I like stopped having a regular day job, and like it was like a year of panic going like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do? But then, now that I'm in the swing of things, it's always kind of like, hey, shit always works out how it's supposed to, and the money comes when it's supposed to come.
It's really about what you put into the universe. Like, I believe in God and the universe. Like it's no formula to get in a rap game. It's not like you say you rap for 7 years, then you make it to the rap game.
Right.
I just was working that hard enough, and by the grace of God, I met somebody that could help me.
Yeah.
Just because I was putting the work into the universe and kept believing in myself.
So you say you weren't mentally preparing yourself. You're just, but did you go farther into the studio, like, we're in the studio even more?
Yeah, I started rapping more, but then it's like, I had moments where I just start getting faded just to numb the pain, like, just to not think about everything that was finna happen. Like,
because I was
telling myself, like, this rap shit might not be, you know, I question myself sometimes, so
yeah,
in my early stages, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And so when the baby comes, how is it?
Change. Everything changed. All the questions I had changed.
Yeah.
I became attached to him instantly.
Yeah.
And
were you there in the delivery room?
I was there. It was sickest shit I ever
seen.
What's
that feeling like? Well, like, yeah, I would imagine it's some grocery, but like when you hold him for the first time.
Yeah, I was disgusted at first. I'm not gonna lie,
that's the realest shit.
I loved him, but I didn't have that moment. So I'm like, oh, this is a beautiful moment. It just was nasty. Period.
That's so funny, because you always read that shit about like, oh, biologically, you know, the baby releases a scent to the mother that bonds her, but the baby looks more like the father, so that he feels that bond. But you didn't like, you were just like, oh, this is gross.
And he was super light skinned, so I was like, hold on, what the fuck? What the fuck was you doing, bro?
Because it takes a few days before the payment comes in, right?
I didn't know about all of that. Yeah. I just thought she was fucking with some light-skinned dude or something.
That's too funny, man. So it's just gross and all, yada, yada. But, like, when the dust settles...
Yeah, I was. It was crazy. It was amazing, for sure.
Yeah.
I was kind of scared to hold them because they're so fragile.
Hell yeah.
And I'm clumsy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, man, but that's the thing. Babies are way tougher than they seem. That's the thing, too.
For sure, because he fell off the bed.
Oh, yeah.
I hope I don't get in trouble for that. But nah. He was taking a nap and fell off the bed. Yeah.
No, babies are a lot more resilient than they appear to be. So then what? What do you start doing? You just keep rapping, or did you get a job? Like,
just rapping. hustling what I can on a, even if it's on the county, hustling food stamps to buy weed.
Yeah.
Trying to sell weeds and smoking it.
Yeah.
You know, it was bullshit.
Yeah. Did legalization of weed in California hurt the weed selling hustle?
Yeah, I was never going to be able to sell weed either way because I'm not into really other drugs. So all I do is smoke.
Yeah.
So I can't sell weed. But it hurt the homies for sure. Like, dudes who are selling drugs.
Yeah.
Like, who going to want to buy your weed? For two blunts for a dub and we could go get 2 grams for $20. Right. The same shit, like,
it's so funny because, you know, back in my day we had to buy our drugs illegally.
And
you know, I always wondered about that because I used to like middleman a bunch when I was in college and shit, just like a smoke for free, so you know, slang weeds but not for a profit, just so I could smoke. And then I, you know, like once the clinics open, I'm like, that hustle just has to be gone at this point.
But it's still the smart dudes that still know how to do it. It's just because convenience wise, like, people don't want to drive way to the clinic if you right there, or the clinics close at a certain time. So you know, if the hustlers is up, they finna make their bread. But
yeah, that makes sense. Did you have any other smart hustles, beyond selling food stamps?
Nah, see, I'm like weak at everything but music.
Really?
Like, yeah, I can't like drugs. I'm weak at selling drugs.
So that's interesting because I oftentimes think, well, I talk about this quite a bit. Like, it takes a certain type of mind to be able to be creative and be a business mind, right? Jay-Z is one of those rare examples, right?
Sure.
But I think that most people that are creatives, the reason that we have managers is because you don't have that business sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something I struggle with.
Yeah.
And I'm learning as I go along.
Yeah.
I plan to definitely be a great businessman. But yeah, like you said, it's stuff I'm still learning.
Right.
My business side isn't, you know, I'm not the greatest at it.
Which is interesting, though, too, because you said you were strong at math.
Yeah.
You would think that the math and the business side might correlate more than, like, the English side.
Yeah, I think with business-wise, I got to learn patience in this industry and just how to maneuver myself and just separating it from the street. Because every time I do a song, I either want to drop it or because I feel the world needs to hear it now.
Right.
But I know everything got to be planned out.
Like, right. Well, another interesting thing that I've been learning about business over time is like, you kind of have to not be a hater and you kind of have to like, I mean, when you said about putting into the universe and it'll come back to you, it's like one of those things where like, if your natural predilection is to like be negative about shit, which mine definitely is, like, you, things start going better when you like push that shit out of your mind. Now, have you noticed that about yourself? Like, like I said, the tape is kind of like, it's self-admittedly about hating on shit.
Yeah.
And like, you have a song, like, you have a whole song where all you do is list shit that you hate.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself like wanting to be more positive lately?
Bro.
Yeah.
Like, this past year, I've been trying to like tell myself I need to start thinking differently, because even though I was going through a lot of good stuff, like a lot of good stuff was coming my way, I still find myself like depressed about certain situations I shouldn't be.
I'm saying. I'm the king of that. I always say, like, I will fucking find a way to... the whole intro when you guys were walking out, I was complaining about a trip to Hawaii. I said, people will tell me, like... I mean, I'll tell people, like, if you gave me $1 million, I would complain about the taxes. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the way I am. And I've always tried to change that, but it's, like, it's hard to get out of that mindset.
Yeah, I just got to find a way to channel happiness, you know?
Yeah.
I'm always thinking, like, I don't want to live in the moment because I want to plan, you know, plan for the future. I want to make sure I set myself up for this. And it's like, I be contradicting myself a lot. I catch myself doing that.
Yeah.
So I've been working on channeling my happiness.
Have you noticed yourself trying to like change the way that you deal with interpersonal relationships as far as
after
meeting someone like Clayton who strives on that stuff, like, he does well with interpersonal relationships. Like, are you learning that type of stuff too?
Yeah, I mean, like, in high school, I had no problem dogging anybody I come across. Like, if it's a female, like, I thought that shit was tight. But, like, now I'm scared to do wrong by anybody. Like, I don't want to do wrong by nobody. If you wrong me, then expect some extra shit to happen, whether it's not from me, because that's what you put in the universe, you feel me?
Yeah.
I really believe in that, like... Karma is crazy, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm trying to do right by everybody I come across.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you noticed your music changing? How old is Thirst 48, like, creative wise? Because sometimes it takes a while for the music to actually hit the scene.
Yeah, I think it came out in June. We probably finished like 2 months before we finished.
Yeah. So for all intents and purposes, it's about a year old.
Yeah, basically.
So in that year, have you still been productive in the off time?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm damn near done with my next project.
Nice. How has the music grown since then?
Last tape, I was probably more emotional, like just coming to grips with a lot of stuff. So I was still in my feelings. My feelings was all over the place. So now I'm more at a stable yet seem like more of aggressive stage.
Yeah. Aggressive like, aggressive how? Tell me.
I'm just a little, I don't know. I think I'm just a little more detached from my feelings right now. I don't know the reason for it. Yeah. I'm just not as emotional right now.
Yeah.
And right now
So in rap terms, like when you say aggressive, I think that it could go either like aggressive braggadocio or it could go aggressive like talking more about the gangster shit that you weren't talking about previously.
Yeah, basically it's more about I'm talking about what I'm angry at. Like Thirst 48 was more of like talking about what I'm angry at on socials.
Yeah.
Now I'm talking about what I'm angry at in these streets and what I've been through.
Yeah.
And there's no way I could be soft about that. It's just gonna come out as aggressive.
Right. Right. Why don't you feel like you're in your emotions as much?
That's a good question, bro. My last project was about a girl. Yeah. So you know that was my best friend for 10 years. That didn't work out, so I was automatically detached after that. So now, after that, I start going through a lot of stuff with my friends, too. So lately, I've just been arguing with a bunch of people, but even though everybody cool now, it's just I'm kind of on a defensive side with a lot of stuff.
Do you feel like some of those older relationships starting to get more distanced as you're concentrating on what it is
definitely.
That you're doing?
Yeah. Last year, I had about 50 homies. I could say I talk to a lot, but now it's probably like on one hand.
Yeah.
So it get like that.
Yeah, that starts to happen.
I understand everybody can't grow with you.
Yeah, I've been noticing that a lot just recently with myself as well. And particularly as you start to concentrate more on the business aspect of your life or like, you know, trying to set yourself up for a future, a lot of friends are hard to do business with. And yeah. So the new music is more aggressive. Are you still working with the same kind of production team?
I reconnected with my family member Kiel, so he doing a lot of production on this tape.
How does it feel?
Like, it's dope. We've been building. We've been making some dope shit.
Are you still continuing like the kind of soulful path, or is it?
I'm always go to soulful, but I'm showing more of my turnt side on this tape because like I don't think people realize how turnt I really am. Like I'm cool, but I'm extra too. So.
Yeah, you are very, like, laid back.
Yeah, I'm chill. Yeah. I'm chill until I need to be turned.
So, and here's a tech nerd, or, like, a rap technical nerd question. But, like, right now I feel like everyone is concentrating on, like, double-time rapping and halftime beats. Do you do that?
Yeah, I've been doing that a little bit lately.
How do you feel about it? I can't lie. Like, I kind of think it's gimmicky. And like,
it is to a certain extent. I feel how you do it.
Yeah.
You feel me? It could be tight because I'm going to get off, like, however I'm rapping.
Yeah,
but I don't overdo it.
Yeah.
I just try to touch a lot of different
I always
shit.
Wonder how everybody feel or, like, how other people feel about that because I'm definitely, like, a 4-4. Like, I like to go 4-4 and I like to, like, chill and I have my pattern.
Yeah,
that I do.
Honestly, bro, like, that number stuff is kind of over my head. Like, I'm like, I just be rapping.
Yeah.
Whatever the beat call me, I'm just gonna rap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what I mean. It's
people are doing the same flows though.
Yeah, they're doing the same flows. And
shout
out
to the Migos.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone adopted the Migos flow, or everyone adopted like the ATL, all that ATL shit. Like everyone's on that right now. And I feel like I know these dudes that have been rapping like quote unquote normal rapping for like 10 years.
And then
all of a sudden,
nah, yeah, that's poop.
That shit's crazy.
Yeah, I try to make sure I keep my own sound.
Yeah. I love rappers with lisps. Is that weird?
No, like, not weird.
Cool G Rap, fucking. I mean, even Biggie to an extent had a little bit of a lisp. Like,
I appreciate it. I've been through some frustrating studio sessions.
So that's I was gonna ask. Like, as a kid, was it a thing? Did people ever fucking tease you for having a lisp?
Yeah, for sure. I didn't know what it was at first. Like, I heard people say it a couple times, but then when I really was told what it was, I'm like, okay. But once I really got in the booth and I could hear it. Like, I'm like, damn, I sound like Young. At first, I sounded like Young Berg.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he got the heavy list, but I feel like I mastered it now.
There's something about speech impediments and rap. Like, it fucking, it really works.
You know, that's funny. That's so weird to me, but a bunch of people tell me that.
It really works. Like, one of my favorite rappers of all time is RZA, but, like, from a specific time, like, 96 to about 2002, like, he was really killing it in my eyes. But he has, like, a crazy fucking speech impediment, but it sounds amazing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like,
he can't say R's at all, pretty much. But anyway, so I always wonder about that because I feel like as a kid, that's an easy target. But then now as an adult, and that's like part of your tool. you know?
Yeah,
it's
for
your
sure.
weaponry.
Keep me different.
Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking about that earlier.
That's
today.
Dope. People always bring my lisp up, though. Yeah. I just used it in the bar, matter of fact, on my tape.
What'd you say?
I tell you, I'll let you hear later.
All right, cool.
Just talking about how bitches was talking about my lisp at first, but now they own it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Some shit like that.
Yeah. So how does it feel to start getting some attention now, man? Just did Sway a couple weeks ago, a month ago?
It's the greatest feeling in the world. I mean, I always knew I was hard, but to hear from other people,
yeah,
it's real reassuring.
Yeah.
It's dope.
Who do you run with? Because, I feel like you're kind of like this lone wolf in the rap
game. Like, what rappers I want
to
run
sure.
with? Nobody. Yeah, I'd be chilling. I mean, I'm cool with Aston, but, you know, we don't kick it really like that. That's my homie. Yeah, I don't run with nobody. I'm just be chilling by myself.
No clique, no crew, just kind of like...
Shout out to the homies, Leftovers, and my homies.
Yeah. How do you stay inspired if you're not around a lot of people that are, like, rapping and shit?
I just, whatever I'm going through, I'm always going through something. And I think I go through more because I try to stay alone. And the more I try to stay alone, the more people tend to reach out to me.
Yeah.
And I'm always in some shit, so...
Yeah.
I base my music off my life, so hopefully I'm always going through something.
Right. Having grown up without... I'm sorry, I'm jumping to all these crazy topics
and
shit.
That shit tight.
Having grown up without your father, and now you're raising a son of your own, now that he's 5 and you've been growing with him, what have you learned about a parental bond that you didn't know before, I guess? Or, like, how have you stayed active in his life?
I never knew how serious that attachment was that parents talk about. Because, like, right now, well, before I came here, I was thinking about, damn, I wish I was with him.
Yeah.
It's, like, really an attachment to where when you're not with him, you wish you with him or around him or wanting to know what they doing and shit like that. You want to be a part of every moment they go through.
Yeah.
Like, his first time at the amusement park. And that's where the struggle was trying to balance not being with the mother of your kid come in, you know.
Yeah.
You got to make sure y'all keep that level head and put y'all problems to the side.
Yeah. How do you guys manage to keep it cool?
We went through our times where I was being childish, saying, like, I'm going to do everything with him on my days.
Yeah.
You do it with him on your days. But now, you know, we grown.
Yeah.
You feel me?
This might be too personal, but has she moved on? She have a boyfriend or anything?
Well, she moved on. I don't know if she got a boyfriend right now. No, I don't think she got a boyfriend because she probably would have told me.
Yeah,
we moved on.
But so if she was, like, you'd be able to keep it cool?
Nah, she good to do whatever she wants. Yeah. She know not to have my kid around somebody that's going to be disrespectful. I'm pretty sure she'll put somebody on a probation stage before she bring them around them. So,
which is smart. Yeah,
that's growing up. You got to accept it.
How is it at that point where, like, he starts having a personality, like, and you start seeing yourself in him a little bit? Like, what's that like?
It's tight and frustrating at times, too.
Why?
Because I teach him to have a strong mind and to not, you know. So when he uses that strong mind against me, sometimes something he don't agree with and he stand up for it is frustrating.
He's stubborn?
Yeah, he's stubborn for
sure. Are you stubborn?
No, I'm stubborn, too,
yeah.
I always feel like I'm right.
Yeah.
Like, you know. That's so he always feel like he right.
And what other traits has he gotten off you?
He spoiled because my mama, like, my brother was always gone, so I was like the mama's boy.
Right.
And he the only kid, and my mama treat him like her kid.
Yeah.
So he's so spoiled.
Yeah.
He's spoiled.
So that's a trait that he got off you, just being spoiled? That's too funny.
For sure.
Yeah. Is he taking to anything right now? Like, does he have any a talent that you're like, whoa,
no,
what the fuck?
He's better than performing than me. Like, he's me times a million. Like, his dancing is next level. He can sing, he can rap.
Does he memorize your songs?
He know my songs by heart. He dope. He was singing Bitter Raps the other day.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, you want a viral video, have him fucking memorize one of your songs.
I got an Instagram video that's gonna go viral if I post it to YouTube or something.
I'm telling you, that's the Danny Brown effect when he did that video for Old and you had the little kid rapper. That's guaranteed viral video because Kanye did one of those too. I don't know. Anyways. Yeah, man, that's interesting. So, you guys gonna start dropping some new content pretty soon or what?
Yeah. Probably like next week.
Next week.
Hopefully.
Well, this is gonna come out next week.
Yeah.
So that's one thing.
Might have a good week.
Yeah. To the listeners out there, I think you guys will really get down with this dude's tape. I mean, it's just smart on so many levels because it's street smart, but it's also, it is very emotionally aware. I think it's very socially conscious of, like, what's happening right now. Like you said, with the social media stuff, it's very relatable at the moment. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But I also think it's going to age well, and it doesn't seem like too of the moment because you're not, like, shouting out memes or anything.
Yeah,
it's just,
sure.
like, that lifestyle of the social media lifestyle. I look forward to hearing more shit from you, man. I'm really excited.
You.
I think you're onto something. So with that being said, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter @BoogieTheBeast, on Instagram at Boogita. That's B-O-O-G-I-T-A. Yeah, my SoundCloud is Boogie Official or something like that. Just look up Thirst 48 on SoundCloud.
Yeah, if you just search for Boogie, yeah,
Google Thirst 48 and yeah. I'm popping up.
It's
bruh.
On your SoundCloud and you can stream the whole thing on there. And it's a great tape. I've listened to it a few times this week to prep for this, and it's really good. It's an enjoyable listen, man. Yeah, so Boogie the Beast on Twitter, B-O-O-G-I-E-T-H-E-B-E-A-S-T.
Correct. Yeah.
And are you gonna perform Numb? Is that what we're gonna do?
I think we could do whatever you want me to do. I was gonna do Bitter Raps, I think, but
oh, if you want to do Bitter Raps, you can do Bitter Raps.
You feel me?
Yeah, we'll do something.
Yeah, I don't care.
All right, cool. Bro. So yeah, if you guys are still listening, at this point is where I do my social media rant. Go to youtube.com and you will see our man Boogie performing whatever we decide to perform. My name's Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. Follow my man behind the boards, Ben Shim, making the shit sound buttery at I Am Database, base with two S's. Hey, for shits and giggles, follow Clayton, because Clayton is the one that helped organize all this. What's his Twitter?
Young Groupon, Y-U-N-G-G-R-O-U-P-O-N.
Greatest Twitter handle of all time.
Greatest
young
Tweeter
Groupon.
Ever.
And really, that was one of my favorite podcasts. So if you guys haven't heard the podcast with Clayton, go listen to that. It takes a sharp turn in the middle where I feel like I almost cried. It was a really great podcast. What else? Subscribe to us on the podcast app. Search for Kinda Neat. Subscribe. Leave a comment.
Yep.
Leave a 5-star rating.
Yep.
And other than that, I don't know, man. I look forward to more of your music. I appreciate you coming in. A long drive all the way from Long Beach. Had to avoid the hit and run from Suge Knight today.
You feel me? Shout out to Suge, man. You out here tripping, bro.
Suge is, man, it's always something with Suge. I have a picture with him from at a diner in Hollywood. He just came and sat next to us.
Yeah.
I was like, I need a picture.
Like
I need a picture with you, bro. My name's Lee. This was Boogie, and this was Kinda Neat.
This was dope.
Hey, man.
Sure.